back in September, a certain elder came to me and he asked me to preach, and he gave me the date. And I agreed to it. I said, that's fine. That I don't work on that day. I can be here. And then about 4 or 5 days after he had asked me, it was announced that that would be a special service and that we had a specific topic that we were going to talk about. And I had to go back to that elder, Morgenthaler, and say, do I need to change something? Do I need to work on this topic or anything? And he said, no, we'll put you off till later in the year. We had talked about October, and he said that probably wouldn't work because of what else, other things we were doing. And there was some mention of November. And it's entirely possible that the conversation included a date, but that memory is somewhere lost amongst all four of the kids' things that I had to do. So I get this text on Monday from my good friend Jeremy, and it says, what are you preaching on Sunday night so that I can make sure that I don't preach on the same thing Sunday morning? And my reply text was, am I preaching Sunday night? So here I am. I pulled out a sermon I had written back in September when they first asked me, and I had a few things that weren't finished, so I finished it up and got it ready, and that's the words that I have for you this evening. And as we were walking out the door, my wife goes, do you have your notes? And I went, yes, I do. To which she said, you do this just to stress me out, don't you? No, not really. I just, talking is not something I've ever been bad at, so a few notes about what I'm talking about will keep me on track and keep us moving forward in all of the things that we have to do tonight. If you'll take out your Bibles and you'll open them up, go ahead and open up to Exodus. Our first scripture this evening is going to be out of Exodus. I have three Old Testament verses and chapters and books that we are going to go to. So if you're real good with your three fingers, put one in each section, and we'll be flipping back and forth to them. If not, find a couple of pieces of paper and somehow mark that place in your Bible, and we'll go through that. And we'll be able to go back and forth to those scriptures. Tonight we're going to talk about being a messenger of God, and there are three things about a messenger of God that I have noticed that is true no matter what. There is always these three things when we talk about someone who is sent as a messenger of God. And one of the first messengers I want to talk about is Moses. Everybody remembers back in Exodus, the third chapter, Moses is out tending to his flock and he notices something unusual. He notices this bush, and this bush is on fire, and yet it doesn't burn up and the fire doesn't go out. It is continually burning without consuming the bush. So he goes over to investigate, and this conversation ensues between him and the Lord. In verse 4 of chapter 3, it says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, and for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon. Their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, and to a place the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So the first thing that I notice about a messenger of God is that he is first called by God. He is specifically chosen, and God comes to him and says, I want you to do something for me. This is true in Moses' case. This is true in Jeremiah's case. If you can, again, mark Exodus, we'll come back there, and then turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the first chapter, beginning in verse, Lord tells Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. So Jeremiah also, this great prophet that we are told of in the Old Testament, Jeremiah also is called the Lord goes to him and says, let me tell you, before you ever get started, this was the plan from the And also, again, if you can mark Jeremiah, we'll be back there two or three times. And turn over to the book of 1 Samuel. And this is a story that we have recently been over with. In those days, there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, that his eyes had begun to grow so Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli said, I did not call you, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And so he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go and lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. So again, Moses is called. Jeremiah is called, Samuel is called, and then as we go into the New Testament again, this is, if you can mark 1 Samuel, we'll be right there. We even sing a song about this next point. One, where's my kids? Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I heard somebody get started, right? So one of the other things, the other people and other messengers, there were 12 of them, that Jesus go to John the first chapter. Beginning in verse 35, he says, again, the next day John stood with two of his disciples and looked at Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. And Jesus turned and seeing them following, said, what do you seek? And they said, Rabbi, which is to say, then translated teacher, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. Skipping on down in verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's brother. And he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are the Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. And the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, you come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? So Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. So Jesus, again, as he goes and he begins his ministry, he needs messengers. He needs somebody to go out and to speak his word and to take the word to the people. So the first thing that we see about all of these messengers is that they have been called, some called by God and some called by Jesus, depending on where you've been. The second thing that I notice about all of these messengers is that when they are sent out to do the work of the Lord, they are never sent by themselves. Okay? So anytime that they are sent to go to bring the people the word, God gives them a message. In Exodus, go back to Exodus, the third chapter, and the story of Moses. He tells Moses, he said, I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. When you go to these people, Moses, I want you to know you will not be by yourself. I will be right there with you the whole time. God does this for all of his messengers. After he has called Jeremiah, beginning in verse 7, says, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you will be a speak. You will speak to deliver you.'" Jeremiah is not sent out alone. Samuel himself is sent out alone. Again, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And something that we're all very familiar with, before the apostles are left, before Jesus ascends back into heaven, the last thing that he tells them in Matthew, the 28th chapter, "To me in heaven and on earth, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, always, even to the end of the earth." A messenger of God is never sent out by himself. He is always sent out with the promise that God will support him, with the promise that God will watch over him, and the promise that God will be beside him all of the time that he is out. The third thing that I want to point out to you is probably the most important. Once that they have been called, the messengers, and they have decided that they are going to go and to do the work of the Lord, some of them made a couple of excuses, right? Moses, I'm not a good speaker. You know, Jeremiah said, "I am a youth." Samuel, it took him a minute to really realize that it was God that was calling him in the first place. And the last thing that I want to notice about all of these is that this messenger, that he has a specific job to do. They are not sent out and told, "Just go." They are sent out and they are told exactly what they're going to do. Let's look at what Moses is told in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, beginning of verse 10. "Therefore I will Skipping on down to verse 15. "Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you will say to the children of Israel, the Lord your God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, all generations, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land overflowing with milk and honey.'" Moses is called. He is encouraged that he is not going it alone, and then he is told specifically, "This is what I want you to do. You have a message that you have to take to the people. Get them together, get the elders together, and take this message to them, that I am about to take them out of Egypt, that I'm about to take them into the land of flowing milk and honey." We see that Jeremiah is told, starting in verse 9, he says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out and pull down, is sent out to his people to build up, to root out the evil, to tell people God's word, to tell them what God would have them to do, to bring his people into a place that is in a relationship with God that is right. He's not left by himself, and he is given a specific mission that he has to do. And if you look at Samuel, the 7th chapter, beginning verse 3. "Then Samuel spoke to the house of Israel, saying, 'If you return to the Lord with all of your hearts, then put away the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines.' So the children of Israel put away all the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, 'Gather all to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you.' So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day. And they said, 'We have sinned against the Lord.' And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel called to Samuel and says, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord God for us, that he may save us from the hands of the Philistines." Every messenger that is sent is given a job to do. In this case, Samuel was sent out to gather the people together and to get them to sacrifice to their Lord, to put away their idols, to turn away from Baal and turn to God and to lean on him for everything. And we also know from what we read in Matthew 28 chapter in verses 18 through 20, what and do what? Baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, making disciples of all nations. This is the job that I have come down here, that I have given to you, you have to take out to all of the nations. All of these messengers have three things in common. They're all called by God. They're all told that they're not going off into the world alone. And they're all given a specific job. Which brings me to the so what. Every time I write a sermon at the end, I always write so what at the bottom. What's the point? Why are we going through all of this information? Why do I bring this to you? Well, guess what? Here's the question. Are you a messenger for God? I'm going to tell you right now, whether you decide to do it or not, you are. Yourself, I am a messenger for God. You may not realize it yet, but you are. And I'll tell you why, because you fit all three of the qualifications. You've been called. Turn to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of God? The world through the wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And just a few pages over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning there in verse 20, he says, "Now when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." We are the ambassadors for Christ. God has chosen the foolishness of the word preached. The only way that people are going to know what Christ did for them is if we go out and tell them. That is the way God meant it to be. And God has sent you as an ambassador. God has sent you out into the world. God has called you to be his messengers. He expects that from you. He wants that from you, and he needs that from you. But just like all of the other messengers, I don't want you to leave here thinking this burden is on you by yourself. As was read by Tim a few moments ago, Romans the 8th chapter, I'm going to read it again just for emphasis. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all, how who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has called you. You might make a couple of excuses. You might say, I don't know enough. I'm not old enough. I'm too old. People don't want to listen. You can make all of these excuses just like some of the other messengers that were called have made. None of them matter. God is sending you out into the world. He has called you to be a messenger, and He has told you, I will be with you. If God is on our side, there is nobody that can be against us. Not anybody. Nothing. There is nothing out there that is going to hold any water against you as you go out there as a messenger of God. And the third reason I say that you're a messenger is that you have a job to do. The second chapter. Verses 1 and 2, it says, you therefore, my son, this is Paul encouraging Timothy as a young man, as a preacher and a messenger. You have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. And also in the fourth chapter, he says again, beginning in verse 2, he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions to the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. As you go out into the world, this is your job. Why? Because the people of the world are not going to know if we don't do it. God has chosen that way. God has set that way up. And God has done all of these things because this is the wisdom of God. He has called you as a messenger. He has set you out, and He has sent you with His support, with His strength, with everything that He can offer to you. And He has given you a job to do. Go ahead and take out your songbooks and turn to the invitation song, 626. Jeremy also came up to me and he asked me, because he didn't remember the first time I told him, apparently, what the topic was for tonight. And he has decided that the songs that we have sung are songs about being a messenger. We've sung about ringing out the message. We've sung about going out into the world and taking Christ to them. So as you leave the building tonight, I want you to understand that you are a messenger of God. You can make all the excuses you want. You can turn to God and say, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. And then you can study His Word and you can find out that He expects you to be a messenger in your example, in your life, in the things that you say to people, in the things that you do for people, in the love that you show for mankind. All of these things are expected of you so that you can bring the message of God to the world. Maybe as you look at your life and you reflect on being a messenger of God, you look and you think, maybe I have not done the things that I should. Maybe I have not been the messenger for God that I should have been. Maybe you have yet to start your life as a messenger. Maybe you have yet to put on Christ. We are prepared to help you in both cases. And we encourage you, Jeremy picked this song to try and encourage you to make your life right with God, to become a messenger for God. And to do that, and we're going to do it right, we're going to give you that opportunity right now as we stand and as we sing.
Christ our King, Christ for.